The olden days, things were a lot simpler.
It's ridiculous. Now I have $20. Go through a maze. Turn on the tape recorder. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let's learn about the origins of Christianity. Now, let's learn the Gemara inside together. Gemara, there are only two parts of the Gemara. Maybe we'll go back to the real origins of Christianity, but let's go back to something that's more relevant. The point I want to make over here is Christianity came about, according to Chazal, a fantastic article in Das Konisa, where he touches upon a lot of these things. And I didn't really prepare all that much. There's a lot more, much better stuff, which I forgot and I just read about. First thing first, no one really knows what happened. Correct?
Yes.
Let's clear the air here. No one really knows. And know whose fault that is? The Christians.
Right.
Because they don't want us to know the truth. So they destroyed all evidence of what really happened, of the real history of Christianity.
They admit it.
It's all gone. So okay. the secrets are all gone. We're piecing together bits and pieces of history here and there. Nothing really makes sense. And so we have to turn to Chazal. And Chazal, it's also very unclear exactly how it all came about. But there are a few Mamari Chazal. Now, one thing is certain according to Chazal. There was more than one Yeshu. There was more than one person who was instrumental in bringing about the religion as they have it today. One of the primary, not only more than one, there can probably be many different people who were major, major figures in the entire sequence of events and how it came to be today. One of the earliest sources of Christianity goes back to a Gemara, in Masechta Sotah Daf Mem Zayin, where the Gemara over here says, okay, let me try exactly where it is. I know the letter is very small. Let's see over here. Let me say exactly. Yeah, Yeshua ben Prachya. Yeah, no, before that. 1 second. Okay, Yeshua ben Prachya Mahi. It is. If you count from the wines get wide, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 lines down after it gets wide. Yeshua ben Prachya Mahi. Yeshua ben Prachya lived in the time of Shimon ben Shetach. Let me tell you about who Shimon ben Shetach was, when he lived, just to get an idea, a timeline. Okay, this is something which you can't make up. Let me turn to the page here, in a second. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Prachya was a very holy person. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Prachya, you know who he was? He was the Rebbe of Shemaya Ve'Avtalia. The Rebbe, the teacher of Shemaya Ve'Avtalia. I think they were Gerim, is that correct?
Yeah.
They were Gerim. They were very holy people. Now, who is Shmaya Vaftalion? Let's just go. Who are they? Do you know who they were? They were the Rebbeim, the teachers of Shammai and Hillel. Achleikis, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. That's the Talmidim. That's the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel. But that was already, that could already have taken place a generation later. It was Shammai and Hillel who turned into Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. So let's take that step back. There was Shammai and Hillel, whose teachers were, the Rebbeim were Shemaya V'Avtalyoy, these people who were called Kodesh Kodashim, and the Rebbe of Shemaya V'Avtalyoy was, the Rebbe of Shemaya was Rebbe Yeshua ben Prachya. Now isn't that amazing? Now let's take a time out. When did Shammai and Hillel live? Shammai and Hillel lived pretty much in the middle of the Bayis, Sheni. Okay, that means Shemaya V'Avtalion lived closer to the beginning, and Rav Shimon ben Prachya lived even closer to that. So Rav Shimon ben Prachya lived towards, I don't know exactly when, towards the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. We have Ezra and Nehemiah. Think about it. Ezra and Nehemiah. We finish off Tanakh. They rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where Tanakh pretty much ends. That's the end of the Tekufa of the Nevi'im. And then the coup of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola begins, a group of 120 people. And that number was never, after that first generation, it seems like it got smaller and smaller. Never really remained 120. And during really the beginning of the Bayis Sheni is where we are introduced to a person whose name was Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, who was obviously a very, very great person. He's part of our Masorah. He taught Shmaya ve'Avtalion, who taught Shammai and Hillel. And from Shammai and Hillel, that was the first Machlekes. That's really where the first Machlekes came about. Shammai and then his Talmidim, they really went to town. And we're Machmer Machlekes. And we have today a whole series of disagreements in Halacha. So the Gemara says the story. What was the story? Yeshua ben Prachya, what's the story? Kedahava kokotel Yanai Malka. Yanai Malka was also in the beginning. He was towards the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Not at the end. When you ask the average person, when was the story of Christianity? Well, they tell you, we're counting now, it's 2017, it's just counting backwards. And when was the Chorban? The Chorban was in the year 70, or in the year 69, 70, 71, not really clear, 69, 70, 71. And if that's the year 70, so then when was Yeshu? Yeshu, we count from his birth, something along those lines, right? This is like a very, very, very gray, I'm telling you, a very abstract version of Christianity. So it must be that Christianity already began, roots of Christianity began 70 years before the Chorban Bayis Sheni, and it really went to town shortly after the Chorban Bayis Sheni. But when did it start? Yeshua ben Prachya was almost 300-400 years before that. Let's say 300 years before that. So the person who was Yeshu 70 years before, even according to their understanding, which is not true, we all know today that it's not true, is obviously not Yeshua ben Prachya. Because Yeshua ben Prachya lived approximately 300 years before the Chorban Bayis Sheni. Yeah.
Is Yeshua ben Prachya during the Greek period or during the Roman period?
It would seem it can't be the Roman.
Okay, and can't be the Roman. Is during the Roman period, right?
So that means that we're dealing with a different Yeshu, a different stage in the development of Christianity. Yeshua ben Prachya could not possibly be during the time of the Roman period.
Okay.
It had to be during the Greek period, or maybe even the tail end of Parasumodai, the transition between Parasumodai, the Persian period, when the Persians dominated the world, and the beginning of the Greek domination of the world. So the Gemara says, let's run through very quickly, Yeshua ben Prachya, Ma'ihi, Kedahava Kokotel Yanei Malka, L'Rabbanon. When the Yanei HaMalka killed all the Rabbanon, what a Gzeres HaShmat, Yanei HaMalka, he killed all the Rabbanon. Kotel Yanei Malka, L'Rabbanon, Shun ben Shetach, Amtinu Achte, Rabbi Yeshua, Amtinu Achte. Rabbi Shun ben Shetach was hidden away by his sister. Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach was a Gadol Hadar.
She was the queen.
She was the queen married to Yanei Malka. Yanei HaMelech's wife was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach. And she realized, she saw what her husband was doing. He was going on a mission to wipe out all the Talmidei Chachamim. What?
A rampage.
So she did not want her own flesh and blood to die. So she told her brother secretly, watch out, he's going to kill everyone. Go into hiding. So he took his sister's advice and he ran away. So he ran away. Rabbi Yeshua. So what happened? Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, Ozal, Orak, Leaksandria Shel Mitzrayim. So he went into hiding with his Rebbe.
He escaped.
So Shim ben Shetach, I'm reading the Gemara correctly, he went. And who was the student of Shimon ben Shetach? It was Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. He ran away to Egypt, Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, together with his Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Shetach. He had a Shalma. When things quieted down, they sent a message to Shimon ben Shetach, come home. It's time to come home. The killing is over. You can return. It's safe to return. Shalach le Shim, Shalach le, they sent him Kama, Shimon ben Shetach, Mini Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, from us. A letter is addressed, if I'm not mistaken, that's how you read the Gemara. The letter was addressed to Shimon ben Shetach, from me. Me means from us here in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, L'chot to you, Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, Achoisi Baali, Sharui B'Soichich, my sister, Bali, I don't prepare this Gemara too well because on tight. We'll just read it very casually. Shari b'seichech v'ani yosheves shemama. So he basically said, okay, to make I don't know how to read this. I apologize to you. I didn't really prepare too well. He said that it's safe to return. Come on, come home.
Shimon ben Shetach went to Egypt, or just.
I think he went to Egypt. I think he went
to Egypt. There's a story that they needed somebody to bench.
Yeshua ben Brachi went, not Shimon. Shimon Shetach was hidden in the by a sister in the.
Am Tindul Achte, Am Achte, Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachi. Okay, Achte, so far. So Rabbi Shimon was hidden. So Rabbi Yeshua, so the only one that was in hiding was Shimon Shetach. I'm sorry. Rabbi Shimon Shetach was in hiding in a cave in Eretz Yisrael. His Talmud, Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, he ran away to Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim.
There was a story in another Gemara that they needed somebody to bench, and she knew that he was there, so she got the king to promise to leave him alone, and they brought him to the palace to be able to lead the bench.
Shimon Shetach, her brother. Okay, but that was her brother. So her brother basically was in hiding. Her brother wasn't hiding because he was a marked man. The Talmud of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, who was Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, didn't have access to a good hiding place because he wasn't the sister of the queen. So what was he? He wasn't the brother of the queen. So what was he going to? He had no choice but to flee. But his Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, needed him. So he sends to him a letter. So Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya Ozel Araki ran away like Sagi Shalom Mitzrayim. Ki Avi Shalma Shalach LeShim ben Shetach. So Shimon ben Shetach sent a letter to Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim directed to his Talmud Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya as follows. Mini, from me, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, L'cha, to you. The return address is Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. The address is...
It was a Talmud of his.
A Talmud of who? Yerushalayim ben Prachya was the Rebbe?
Yeah.
The Rebbe who's... Okay. So he was a fine. Other way around. So therefore, the Rebbe was Yerushalayim ben Prachya. Fine. So he sent him a message. Mini from me, Yerushalayim Yer Hakodesh, L'cho Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, Achoisi Baali, my sister Baali, my master, Shari B'Seichech, which means that my sister is my master because she's the queen. She is the queen and she is my sister, Shari B'Seichech. She is here in Yerushalayim. V'ani yosheves shomeima, and I'm all alone. Meaning, I need to talk and learning with you. I'm all on board. I need a good chavrusa. Everything now is peaceful. My sister is in charge. She is my ba'ali. She is my master. Meaning that peace has come. Maybe the king Yanai died. Yanai cooled down. Whatever the story is, it's ready. You're ready to come home now. Omar, so Rabbi Shimon Prachi said, Shma mina havale shalomo. It must be that there is peace in the world. And therefore, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go and return. I'm going to return back to my friend, my Rebbe, my Talmud, whoever it is. I'm going back to Shimon ben Shetach to return. Ki also, when he returned on his way back, Ikla lahu osh biza. He went and he stopped off at a motel. Come, kamayhu biyakora shapir. The people in the hotel, the hostess of the hotel, they stood up in front of him with great honor. They saw they have here in front of them the Helika Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. Avadle Yukura Toiva. They did for him incredible chesed. They gave him a suite, penthouse suite, and they gave him the best food, and they gave him the best honor. They did everything possible they can possibly do to give honor to the Talmud Chacham Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya.
The hotel was Jewish?
The owner doesn't say if it's Jewish or not. I have no idea. Irrelevant. It does not say Jewish or not Jewish. They went. He's now returning back to his chaver, Shimon ben Shetach. He's coming back to learn b'chavrusa after the killing is over, and he stops off at a hotel, and the balabas of the hotel gives him enormous covet and honor, treats him exceptionally well. Yosef v'kar mishtabach. Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya, he didn't travel alone. He traveled with Yeshua, short for Yehoshua, Yeshua, a person by the name of Yeshua, who happens to be the same names as Yeshu, if you have Yeshu with an ayin. He was sitting with a student. He didn't travel alone. He was traveling with this person called Yeshu. V'kam mishtabach, and he was telling over his Talmud, kamen noach san yezo. Wow, look at the chesed, look at the kindness our host has provided for us. Amale, now, from the context we learned, he had many students with him, and he was giving a shir, I guess, you know, in the ballroom. They gave him a yakikala in the Ramada, at a nice ballroom, and he was giving a shir, and he began the shir, pechsen b'chlor achsan, and he wanted to thank the sponsor of the yakikala for being so kind and gracious and providing for them such hospitality. So Amale echami talmid of Rebbe, you said that she's so beautiful. Rebbe, you know, there are nicer looking women in the world than this. Rebbe, you may know the Gemara, but you don't know women. There are more pleasant, beautiful women in the world. Rebbe, Amale, Echami Talmidav, Rebbe, Einecha Terutois. Her eyes are not perfectly round. She does not have nice eyes. Her eyes are
Chinese.
Elongated, right? Is how you pronounce it? They're elongated. Amale, so the Rebbe, he had a violent reaction. The Rebbe had a violent reaction. I'm over here. When I said, Kamenohe, Achsan Yizo, you accuse me, you suspect I'm a lowlife like you. I'm talking about what she looks like. If she's fitting to be on the cover of a magazine, that's what you think I'm talking about. If this, we can take this woman back and we can put her on, who knows, some magazine, that's what you think about me? That's what you think about when I said that how beautiful she is? Russia. The Kach Ata Oisek. Not only forget about what you accused me, it goes to show what you're thinking about. It goes to show this is what you're dealing with, looking at women, what they look like. Apik Arba Mea Shepoire, he took out 400 shofaris. I told you the number 400 represents the extreme. The last on the Aleph base, 400 shofaris. And he blew the ancient times when you put a person in Shamta, when you put a person in excommunication, you blow a shofar to make an announcement. The way you make an announcement, the public, with the PA system, you blow on the shofar. The Shamta, and put this fellow, the Talmud, which we don't even know what his name is, does not even say, I think over here on the side of the Gemara, there's a little teeny oischess.
Yeah.
Oischess, and that says, Kisvayad Amale Yeshu Hanotri. The censors took this out. Mm-hmm. Over here it says, in our Gemara, Amale Echad Mital Nidav, in the original version of the Talmud, it said, Amale Yeshu Hanotri. Yeshu, that was his name. He came from a city. There's a whole question, why is he called Notri? He came from a city called Netzer. That's one answer. There are many answers, not for now.
Netzer.
Fine. Whatever it is. Netzeres, he was called Yeshu. Notri, he says, Rebbe, she's not a beautiful woman. He took out the shofar, Apik Arba Mea Shipore, the Shamte, and put this student in Shamta. No one should have anything to do with this Oisvarf. This Oisvarf is Arois from the Beis Medrash. He threw him out of the yeshiva. Out he goes. What happened with the student? Kol Yoima. Every single day, the student came back to the yeshiva, came back to his Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Prachi, and said, Rebbe, please, I beg you, chatosi, take me back. I made a mistake. I'm doing tshuva, take me back. Kol Yoima, osu lekame, veloi kible. He refused to accept him. Yoima chad one day, havi kore kriya shma. Why is the Gemara telling us all of this? One day, the Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Prachi, was in the middle of Shachar. He was saying Kriya Shema, and in walks the student, Yeshu HaNotri, and he says, Rebbe, Chotasi, take me back into the yeshiva. I made a mistake. I'm assuming he said, why will he come back? Havikar is Kriya Shema. Also Likameh, he came before the Rebbe. Hava Bidaite Likabule. The Rebbe at that moment said, okay, the time has come, I'm going to reverse. The whole Christianity was a mistake, based on a mistake. I'm going to take you back. Time has come, I accept you. That's what he was thinking in his mind, but you know, it's Kriya Shema. You're not allowed to be mafsik when you say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Who would dare be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema? You wouldn't do that. You're saying Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you're going to be mafsik, but in my mind, his thoughts were, I'm going to take you back. Now, by the way, the fascinating thing over here is that he was willing to admit that he was saying Kriya Shema, but he was thinking about something else. Isn't that a godless? There's a famous story, one of the stories of ethics, where there was a person, one of the, I don't remember which one, it was a remayor, where he was davening, and a guy comes and says, Rabbi, you have in your possession something which I want to purchase. I want to purchase for a certain amount of money. Can you sell it to me? And the Rebbe was davening Shemoyne Esrei. And the buyer thought that, and there was no response. In Kol Ve'Enoyne, so he thought it wasn't enough money. So I'll give you $200. No response. $500. $1,000. He kept on increasing the bid. I'll give you $500,000. I want to buy this. And then finally, the time he finished the Shemoneh, he took his 3 steps back and said, I heard when you came to me, you were willing to offer me $10. I'll take the $10. So everyone says, wow, this is the story of business ethics. Here you have a rabbi who could have taken $500,000 because of a misunderstanding, and it would have been 100% legal, fair and square. And he says, no, I was a little down in the Shimon Esher. I heard you said $10. I'll take the $10. That's the godless of the story. My boys, that's not the godless of the story. That's not the godless. That's Shri Pashat. That's too simple. Honesty. You know what the godless story is? I was davening Shmona Esrei, and I admit that I was listening to everything that you were saying. I was davening Shmona Esrei, my eyes closed, and bowing down, and I was listening. I heard you said $10, $20, $50, $100, $1,000. That's the godless. The godless was, you don't have to give me $1,000,000. I heard what you said. You said $10. I got it. I'm willing to take the $10. So sitting over here, he was saying exactly the same thing. Over here, he was saying Kriya Shema. And in his mind, he said, okay, even though I'm saying Kriya Shema, I'm ready to take the talent back. So what did he do? He motioned to him, Rebbe was over here. He called Yom Ha'olakam, Yom Ha'char, Havik, Kokarvus, Kriya Shema, Ha'olakam, Ha'avah, Bedaita, Lekabuli, Achvele, Biyadah. He pointed like this with his hands. He said, one minute. Let me just finish Kriya Shema, then we'll talk. Sova. Talk about bad mazel. Couldn't be a bad day, right? Bad mazel. Dangerous world. You make a mistake. You make one little mistake. Who knows where you end up? Look what happened. How much blood was shed because of this misunderstanding. So sova matcha dochile. He thought the Rebbe said no. He thought the Rebbe said, I don't want you.
Never.
So this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Ozal, so what did he do? This too is Yeshu Hanotu Zokaf Live Nosa. He erected a brick. He erected a brick. Polcha, he bowed down to the brick. Now, I don't really know what this means. It means he worshipped Avodah Zarah. Omar, in other words, this is the expression that the Gemara is using to say that he went off the derech. He erected a brick. Zokaf Luveinasa Polcha, and he worshipped the brick. Which really, these words over here, these three words, is, according to Chazal, I don't know what it means. I'm just telling. Bring this to your attention. These three words is the essence of Christianity. He took a brick, he stood it up, and he worshipped it. That's Christianity. That's where it all started. So what does that mean? What is a brick? A brick is an object of construction. You create something new. He created a new religion. He took raw material, building material. He stood it up to mean I'm going to make an institute. And this creation that I make, a man-made creation, is going to be God. What is religion? We worship Hashem. We don't worship man-made inventions. A brick itself is a man-made invention. By Migdal Bavel. What happened by Migdal Bavel? How did they rebel against Hashem? Until then, there was stone. How do you build a structure? You have stones. Oh, we can't, there are no stones in Bavel. So they were creative. They were technologically advanced. They created bricks. The chemar became for them a levena. We don't need the stones anymore. We make bricks. The Gemara we are saying is that Christianity is built. It's a more sophisticated form of Migdal Bavel. The Avodah Zarah of Migdal Bavel was, Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't need you. We don't need you. Because we have, until now, we need stone. In order to live, you have to have stone. We have technology. We're able to replace stone with something artificial, with levena. And they use the levena to build a tower to rebel against Hashem. Yeshu went further. He took the brick, he took the technology, and he worshipped it itself. Migdal Bavel used the brick as a means to rebel lahachas against Hashem. Yodea riboinam umischavnim limroiboy. And how do they do that? They just couldn't do that on their own. They needed an advance. They needed technology. They used the brick as a means to go higher, 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 and stick it to Hashem. So Ribbono Shel Olam, we know about you, we don't need you, we don't care for you, and we're going to use the technology to rebel against you. Yeshu said they were not successful. Look what Hashem did to them. I'm going to be better. I'm going to take that brick and not use it as a way. I'm going to ignore Hashem. Forget about Hashem. I'm going to worship the brick itself. I'm going to worship the technology itself. I'm not going to use it to rebel. You can't rebel against Hashem. So when you rebel against Hashem, you're going to lose. And that's what Christianity is. You bring Hashem into your corrupt view of this world. Right? Is that what Christianity is? Christianity is the love of man. The love of man, but there's a God also. How does he play in the picture? We'll tolerate Hashem also. We'll love Hashem as long as he doesn't get in the way of what we want to do. Migdal Bavel was to rebel against Hashem. Christianity, as far as my limited understanding, is you're not rebelling. Part of Christianity, Trinity, is Ribbono Shel Olam. And you have men, you have a God, you have a God, and you have the Holy Ghost, and together you have a chicken soup. All these things come together. All the ingredients. He took the brick. The brick, I'm trying to suggest, is you're building upon the mistakes of Migdal Bavel. Migdal Bavel was the first time in the modern world after Noach is where there was a rebellion against man. But it was rebellion, it was technology used to rebel against man. We don't do that anymore. We don't go against Hashem because we know, the goyim know, you go against Hashem, you're done. You're dead in the water. It's not going to work. So you just ignore Hashem. You take technology and you worship the technology. So you're ignoring Hashem. That's a different type of avodah zarah. That's the principle, the underlying principle of Christianity in the eyes of Chazal. At least in my corrupt understanding of the Gemara. But at least that's what I'm trying to stress with you. Om Alei, Chazorbach. They said to him, Chazorbach. So the Rebbe said, student, he said to him, what have you done? Do tshuva. Om Alei, kach mikublani mimcha. You have taught me, kol achoyte yamachti asarabim. It's too late for me. I was a machti. I caused other people to sin. Ein maspikim biyoder la'asoyis teshuva diyamamar. Kishef, what did he do? Kishef ehisis. The Hidiyah he led us Shevichti as Yisrael. Period. And then the Gemara goes therefore this. Then Tanya Bishim and Lozo. I'm a Yitznik. Yisrael. Okay, this is another example of the Yishnah. What was you Doicha Bismoil? This is an example. The Gemara criticizes that Christianity, unfortunately, is blamed. We blame it partially on Rabbi Shimon Prachya, the Halakha Rebbe of Avtalia Shmaya Avtalia, who was the Rebbe of Shammai and Hillel. And Shimon Shetach, who was the Chover, or the Talmud, or the Rebbe of Shimon Shetach, who lived in the time of Yanei HaMelech, which was probably the first 100 years of the Bayis Sheni, sitting along those lines, turning the new Bayis Sheni. We see the timeline, and we see how it all happened, and it was all, we're criticizing, the Gemara explicitly says, Le'olim ye'docha b'smol, yikarev b'yamin. You push with the left hand, and you pull with the right hand. What happens when you take a person who's backwards, he's facing the wrong direction, and you give him a shove with the left hand, and you pull him with the right hand, what happens? He turns around. The left is the weaker hand, the right is the stronger hand. You have to pull him stronger, more than you push. The push, the zets you give him is weak relative to the pull of love you bring him to come close. So this is the lesson the Gemara says. The Gemara over here, to some degree, is rejecting unconditional love. What is unconditional love today? Read all the magazines. I think that today you notice they're going back. They have charata. There's no left hand altogether. Unconditional love means there's no left hand. There's just a right hand. When a person does terrible aveiros, goes off the derech, that's called avo asa, yimekarev biyamin. No left hand. Left hand you tie behind you. The Gemara said, it's wrong. What should you do? Get rid of him. Sit shiv of him. Push him with two left hands. Push with both hands. The left. That's what Rabbi Shimon Prachya did, and the Chazal criticized. You don't push away a person with both hands. That's also a mistake. There has to be balance. There has to be musa, criticism. How dare you? Who do you think you are to abandon your faith? How dare you be mevazi your parents, your family, and go and behave the way you do, be mechal Shabbos, and go off the derech? How dare you? What kind of human being are you? You view yourself as being better than everyone else. You give musar. There's no such thing as unconditional love. But that's only with the left hand. The left is the weaker hand. The left hand must be balanced, not balanced, overpowered by a stronger right hand. Come, the door is always open. You'll always be taken back. There's always going to be for you support. You're never going to be abandoned from us. The right hand has to be even stronger than the left hand. This is the Gemara saying. And this mistake resulted in the formation of Christianity. Okay, there are a lot of diukim you can make. One of the important diukim I want to make over here is Christianity began. What is Christianity? I don't know much about it, but what I know is, the very little I know, is Christianity is about love. It's about Hashem is not echad. That's what I want to bring out from this Gemara. Yados Hashem Elokeinu Hashem echad. Christianity, the first rule in any book is there's no echad. There's three. What echad? Nonsense. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem echad. I'm shocked that they didn't go in the Old Testament. They should have mamish erased that from the Old Testament. How could they keep that in the Old Testament? That statement, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem echad, is mamish against every bone of their ideology. Because they believe there is three. There is a God, a man, Yeshu, and there's Ribbono Shel Olam. He's part of the picture. And there's something called the Spirit. I don't know what this means. Holy Ghost. Trinity. Why is this the fundamental principle of Christianity? It's Pashat. It's Mamish Pash Ad Ma'od. Because when he said good riddance to Yados, what was his Rebbe doing at that moment in time? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That was the last memory he had of his Rebbe. I'm coming to you to do tshuva. I want back in. Chotasi Ovisi Pashati. I want back in. My Rebbe, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You, Oisvar, get out of here. Good for nothing. Good riddance. I want to know from you. So what was the memory of Yishuv Ben Parachia when he said, enough of this religion, enough of this mishigas. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I'll show you. I'll make a religion where the religion is not built upon Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The religion will be based upon Trinity. There's a lot more than Echad in this world. Not just two, there's going to be three. The whole foundation is Mamash, the Gemara. The Gemara is telling us where it comes from. Another very powerful principle is the danger of I don't know how to work this out, but you have to take this into consideration. This is the Gemara. The Gemara is telling us, it's telling us for a reason. It all came about in praise of the host. And we live in a country, we're very fortunate, we live in a country, they do everything for us. A Medina Shel Chesed. And they lead the whole world by example. I mean, I tell people, they look at me like I'm from Mars. Like we're living like in a little ghetto. I don't understand. But we're living in a country, they do everything for you. Freedom of religion has never been so good for Jews in the history of the world since the Chabad Hasheni. Freedom of religion, no one says boo, do whatever you want. You can serve Hashem any way you want. And if you need money, we'll help you. We'll give money for the shul, we'll give money for security, we'll give money for the yeshivas, we'll give you food, we'll give. Whatever you want, we'll give you. That's unbelievable. And it's exactly what he said. Look how beautiful. To be makir toif. And this Oisvarf says, Rebbe, so beautiful, you know, the eyes. She wouldn't make it Sports Illustrated. Okay? How do I know that, huh? Rebbe, Oisvarf. That's how it all started. And what did the Rebbe do? He overreacted. I'm not working out for you. I'm not connecting the dots.
He didn't overreact. He thought
he took out 400 shayfrais.
Okay.
400 shayfrais. Shanta. He refused to take him back. And Ashkacha Pratis. But Derech Shadim Roit Say Lelech Malichin Oso. When now the time was ripe.
The problem, not the shayfrais. The problem is that
what? Exactly. So, why do you misinterpret it? Because he has a very narrow look at this world. You go to a place and someone says how beautiful this place is, how beautiful this woman is. Such a narrow mind. You're living in such a narrow mind. You think when I said beautiful, it means what she looks like. That's your whole life. Your whole life is so narrow. Beauty is all defined in what a woman looks like. You don't have any depth to you. Any depth to you. And from there it all started. And from there it all started, and then the cycle, everyone's guilty here. No one's getting a free lunch here. No one's getting a free lunch here. But don't forget that Yeshu is also guilty. Like, we live in a generation where we want to give blame number one. I'm sure in Parachia. No! Unfortunately, we live in a generation. Yes, the average person. So who's to blame for Christianity? The first thing he says is Shimon Parachia. He overreacted. That's right. He's guilty. But he's not the first one you blame. The first one you blame is Yeshu. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry to tell you. Yeah. Most people don't want to hear that. You write this in the magazine today, they'll say, you're crazy. You can't go blame. You can't blame Yeshu. Yeshu's the victim here. He's the victim over here. No, he's not. Yeshua ben Parachia is also guilty. He's not getting a free lunch, granted. But Yeshua is also guilty. Why is he guilty? Because he's so narrow-minded. He's so narrow-minded. His whole life is pure gashmi. Pure gashmi. Can't even see the big picture. That's a very big limud musar to all of us. You look at this world. Don't just look at everything in such narrow, narrow view. You have to have a open up your eyes to see the big picture, and that I think is a real problem that we live in, because people are just, they're very, very, walk down very narrow streets in life, and it's disturbing, at least to me. I don't know. I'm a das yach. These are some of the ideas. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Maybe we'll do a little more tomorrow. But these are some of the roots of Christianity. All the secrets are hidden here in the first Gemara about.
Well, I'll take the action. I didn't do anything.